It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, let's read further.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
How did they come? In haste. They did not waste time. God is telling you to do something. Don't put it for tomorrow. Do it right away. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So when God calls, you say, yes, here I am. And serve the Lord. And when they came, they were not disappointed. They saw exactly what the angel said, that they saw the baby, and they were so happy. Verse 17 and 18.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Okay, can you imagine? These shepherds, they came. They told Mary everything what angel told them. And they saw the baby. They worshiped the baby. They praised God and glorified God. And the word of God says they went abroad. Means they might went house to house telling Jesus Christ is born. And they were the first messenger going and telling the people. And people might be thinking, who are these people? Maybe crazy. They smell bad, their clothes are bad, and they're telling us we saw Jesus, we saw the Savior, we saw God on earth. Nobody listened to them. Even that they told the Mary, listen, see verse 19.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Mary heard it, and she put it in her heart. She's not telling anybody either. So the point I'm making, once you know the good news, that good news is not for you alone. You have to spread it around. You have to tell the world what you got. When you got healed by Jesus, don't secretly say, oh, I don't want to tell, I had the tuberculosis, and if I tell somebody, they will hate me. No, Wal Robert, he was dying with the tuberculosis when he was 17 years old. When he got healed, he didn't keep a secret. He told the whole world. Not only that, he started praying for the whole world. God does miracle for you to tell somebody. The blind man says, I was blind and now I see. And if you see that story in John's Gospel, chapter 9, they tried to suppress him. I know one thing. I was blind, now I see. They kicked him out from the synagogue, but he was not afraid. The point I'm making, if God heals you, tell somebody. If God saves you, tell somebody. There are people, they are Christian, and they do not tell their neighbor they are Christian. This thing happened. One man met D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody told him about Jesus Christ. And this man was so excited. And he said to D.L. Moody, you know, I have a neighbor who is a pastor. But he never told me about Jesus. But D.L. Moody told him about Jesus. So this man comes and tells the pastor, Pastor, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? He said, well, I thought you may not like it. And you may hate me. That's why I didn't tell. That's not a good reason. We have to tell the people what God has done for you. Tell your husband. Tell your wife. Some people, you know, they get saved. And they are dating to each other. And the person is not saved. And they don't want to tell that I got saved. So what happens? Then if they get married, their marriage doesn't work. If that girl would have said, you know what? I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He said, I don't need you. Then you go. I want Jesus. Or if you love me, I go to church, you follow me. And if they don't, you don't need that person. That's what the Bible says. Do not unequally yoke. Can be business, can be husband and wife, or any relationship. If somebody hates your Jesus, you have no business loving that person. If somebody hates Jesus, he's the enemy of Christ. He should be your enemy too. But Jesus Christ says, love your enemy means bring that person to Christ. We are not here to hate somebody. If somebody hates you, you pray for them. The Word of God says, when you live godly life, God can make your enemy your friends. They can come around. I have seen in my life, some people wanted to kill me, but I prayed for them and they became Christian many, many times. So the Word of God is saying, when you got the joy of salvation, try to spread it around. Shepherd didn't care. We look ugly, we smell bad, people may not like us, but they went to tell anybody anyhow. So it's a message of the salvation. People do not want to hear Merry Christmas. This is almost 2,000 years. People are afraid to tell others about Jesus. If all the Christians united and Christian people put some kind of announcement before the Christmas comes, if any shop does not play Christian songs or does not say Merry Christmas, we are not going to shop in that shop. They get the message. The point I'm making, tell everybody, they like it or not. When you're going in a Christmas time and getting the Christmas card and you have a Jewish print, I'll buy Happy Holidays. Don't buy Happy Holidays. Buy Merry Christmas. Write the Christmas message. If they don't like it, next year they may not send you a card. That's okay with me. But give the Christmas message to everybody. For the Christian, Christmas is every day. Jesus Christ is born in my heart. Now somebody said, if I was there and I knew that this was the Son of God, I would have given my home. Why they let him to go to the manger? I said, now is the time. Jesus Christ is saying, I'm knocking at your door. If you open your door, I'll come in. That's the time you are saying, Lord Jesus, I heard. When you came into this world, you didn't have room to keep your head. Somebody says, can I follow you? Jesus said, the birds have nest, the foxes has the holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay down his head. That's the way Jesus lived. We should say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my house, come into my church, come into my family, and your house, your church, your family, your home will be not the same. Your house will be blessed. Christ is in center in our life, in our house, in our family. We will live together for God. And so this Christmas, let's make a decision. If the shepherds can go and tell somebody, why can't we tell somebody about the story of Christ? So we are going to tell somebody, Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is my supplier. I'm not looking for help anywhere else. The Word of God says, my help comes from above. God is the source of your supply. The Christmas time, many people might be thinking, this Christmas I didn't have the money to buy a tree. Don't worry. Do you see any tree here? No. Come to my house. No tree. But we have Christ. We have Bibles. We have books, we have CDs, we have DVDs, we have everything about Christ in our house, but not the tree and the decoration. Somebody says, is that bad? No, it's good. If you're living in a heathen country and all your neighbors are not Christian, that's the time to celebrate, put the lights and put everything, and they say, what is this? Then you tell them, this is the birth of Jesus Christ, but now We are competing with the neighbors. Oh, he has so many lights. I want to make them better than him and better than him. And let's call the cable company. And they're calling them. And they come and they say, okay, this is the best house decorated in Christmas time. They lost their blessing. We are not celebrating to show somebody how much we are rich. If you have money, find out on the Christmas time somebody's hungry and give them food. When I was in India, I used fast on Christmas Day. I said, I can give my food to somebody else. But point I'm making, let's make this Christmas joyful, not for one day, year around. Book of Luke, chapter 2. We are going to start from verse 21.
And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord.
Now here we see Jesus now is 8 days old. And the word of God says, the firstborn child should be given to the Lord. And all the firstborns are belong to God. And so they wanted to dedicate their child, especially for circumcision. And they brought the child to the temple or synagogue. And so they wanted to dedicate Jesus Christ and do the circumcision according to the law. Many people today do not thank God what God has done for them. When you get a child from the Lord, we should be thankful and dedicate your children to God. Once you give your children to God, then you are just the babysitter. You just take care of them, but at the same time, God is the one take care of them. When the child is sick, child is having problem, you don't have to worry because it's a child of God. And God will take care of the child. And we see here, Joseph and Mary brings this child for the dedication and the circumcision according to the law. Jesus Christ was born into this world to fulfill the law. So even though it's a new baby, 8 days old, baby cannot say yes or no, but he was just under the law, and the mother and father took him for the dedication. Verse 23.
As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord.
Now he says, as it is written according to the word of God. Let's go to the Exodus chapter 13, verse 1 and 2.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine.
See, God gives us a gift. The children are the gift of God. And once we get the children, we should be thankful to God. It's not ours, it's God's. And you give it to them, to the Lord. And that's why, that's the reason they bring this child to the Lord and dedicate it to God. They don't have to do it. He was the Son of God. He was already dedicated. He was already ready to do the will of God. But a mother has to bring the child for dedication. And the word of God says, not only that, they have to purify the mother. The mother, when gives the birth, they were called unclean. So the 8th day, they have to bring some kind of gift, offering to God for purification. We will be reading a little bit further. Verse 24.
And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons.
Now here is saying, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, this offering was said to the poor people. If you are rich, you can bring a lamb. But if you are poor, you bring the young pigeons or turtle doves. Go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, and start reading from verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest.
See here it says lamb or turtle doves. Okay.
Who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering, and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean.
They had the laws, rules, and regulations. And somebody will say, why we are not doing today? We are not doing today because Jesus Christ's blood has sanctified us. So we don't have to do these things that we are unclean. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you are born again, child of God, blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies you and you are clean in the sight of God. But in the Old Testament, if you read the book of Leviticus, there are so many rules and regulations, and all these people, they were under the law, and not a single person was able to fulfill the law. That's why Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. But here we see Mary bought the just turtle dove, not the lamb. From that we know she was poor. We will be reading a little bit further. Verse 25, go back to the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 25.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Now here is the man, Simeon. I don't know, the age is not given, but it says the old man, and waiting that God is going to reveal his salvation to him. And so he was waiting, and the word of God says he was dedicated, holy man of God, serving the Lord. He's a just man. Is a righteous man, and those days righteousness was by faith or by the blood of bulls and goats. Our righteousness is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so this man was waiting that God might have said to him by the Holy Spirit that I'm going to reveal to you who the Savior is. And so he was waiting. And we don't know when God told him, but according to the word of God, he was waiting. Verse 26.
And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.
See, here it says, God revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Means Holy Spirit inspired him and spoke to him that you are not going to die until you see the Savior of the world. And the word of God says this man was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we say fill up the Holy Spirit, most of the people get confused. Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Most of the people think the same Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament and the same Holy Spirit in the New Testament. in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was not yet revealed. Only they knew God the Father, or just say God, or the Lord. They did not know even the who was Lord and who was God. They never said God a Father. But when Jesus Christ came into this world, He is the only one revealed who Father is and who Holy Spirit is. And so, when the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit, then God's Spirit revealed them what was the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
See what he's saying? The Spirit of Christ, which was in them. That means, even though they didn't know what spirit they had, they only know the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Lord was upon them. And the Saint Peter says that Spirit was the Spirit of Christ, because they were searching about Christ. They were searching about salvation. And the same way Simeon was doing. He was searching and waiting that salvation God was going to reveal to him. When Jesus Christ comes to the temple, when the baby is brought to the temple, he, by the Spirit, he understood what was the reason God kept him. Go back to the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 27.
And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation.
See, now he saw Jesus Christ, little baby, but the Holy Spirit revealed him, this child you see, this child is the Savior of the world. And this is the reason you were waiting. And so his spirit was satisfied. And now he says, now I'm ready to go. I was waiting. You told me to wait. And I'm waiting. My joy is fulfilled. My waiting is over. Now he is ready to go to heaven. But he was waiting to see the salvation. So the word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means each and every person has to know the Savior. And if some people, if they die without receiving Savior, they will go to hell. But this man was waiting for the salvation. This man was waiting for the Savior. And when he saw the Savior, he was satisfied. Let's read the Isaiah chapter 52, verse 10.
The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
See, he knew that this is the timing he was waiting, that the whole world is going to see the salvation of God. Go to the Matthew chapter 1 and read verse 21 to 23.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
She said, his name shall be called Jesus. Jesus means the Savior. And so when this man sees the baby Jesus, he knew this is the Savior. Let's read up to 23.
Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
See, this was the Savior, and the same Savior was God. When you say God with us, many people didn't understand. They're thinking God the Father came into this world. God the Father did not come. God the Son came into this world. And God the Son is God himself. That's why the word of God says, God with us. We saw God in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 31.
Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people.
Now who is saying this? Simeon is saying, you have prepared the salvation for the mankind before the face of the earth, the people were even born. That means he's saying, before the world was created, you had the plan to bring the salvation to the world. God knows everything. God knows what was going to happen. And that's why the word of God says, we were in the mind of God, in the heart of God. Read the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
See, we have all spiritual blessings come to us through Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, all the heavenly blessings flows. Verse 4.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
See, he had chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before him in love. So, only in Christ, Jesus Christ is the model of love, God is love, and once we receive Jesus Christ, we are perfected in love of God. And so here he's saying, this was the plan of God before the foundation of the world. So we are so special in the eyes of God. We are not ordinary people. Okay, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 32.
A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.
This is Simeon saying. He is saying, this child is going to be a light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. So you can see, God revealed this man who Jesus Christ is. Not only that, what kind of ministry Jesus Christ is going to do for the mankind. Read the Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
Now here the Isaiah is saying, there are people dying without God and without Christ. They are like under the shadow of death. That means each and every person who is born into this world, that person is going to die. The word of God says in book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Simeon is seeing the vision, what the Isaiah was saying, that Jesus Christ is going to bring the salvation, the light, the life to the people who are dying without God and without Christ.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.